Joining us on the line, U.S. Representative Troy Carter, District 2, recently reelected. Congratulations to you, Troy.
Newell, thank you so much. I'm very honored by the people of the 2nd District. Ready to get back to work, quite frankly.
Absolutely. You and some fellow Congress folks have written letters to the Senate Appropriations Committee as well as the House Appropriations Committee looking for a comprehensive disaster supplemental appropriation. And most recently, it's been reported, and Secretary Mayorkas has said, no money. Tell us about it.
Yeah, unfortunately, when we left for recess, we failed to pass a budget, and embodied in that budget was the Disaster Relief Fund, which goes to address natural disasters across the country. We know that these natural disasters are prevalent in places they haven't been before. So we have a natural strain on the dollar amounts that are there. We're still not done with hurricane season. We still have repairs and works that were being done from previous storms. And I said then, and I say now, that one of the fundamental jobs that we have is to make sure that we fund the operations of our government and to make sure that we are prepared for natural disasters, particularly given the frequency that we see them and the proximities that they're happening in that they haven't happened in before. So we sent this letter urging our speaker, urging the White House, urging Congress to fully fund the disaster relief coffers so we can address these concerns. The American people are deserving of a government that works for them, notwithstanding our party affiliations, notwithstanding whatever differences we may have within our ideological views. We must carry out those basic functions of government and making sure that our disaster relief fund is fully funded, making sure that SBA is fully funded to address the needs of small businesses throughout our country. It's just not an option in my estimate, and I'm hopeful that when we go back on Tuesday next week, that it'll be among the first things that we will do.
Troy, is it time for us to also place restrictions on this fund? It seems to me that when we make it through certain seasons of the year, there's a willingness to reprogram and repurpose some of these dollars instead of building up a fund. And then, you know, when they call upon it, you don't need to have as much money if you've got money that's accumulating in that fund. And for the secretary to say in August that there's no money, and you know, and both sides are guilty, both sides of the aisle are guilty of doing this over the last couple of decades. Are we at that point that we should just make that sacrosanct? We put the money in there and we carry it over from year to year. If we don't spend it, it's there. And then what we put in there the following year just increases the amount available to us.
No, we are far past that period. It is the responsible thing to do to make sure that we never find ourselves flat-footed. There are enough things that we will play ping pong on within the congressional exercises. One thing we should never play ping pong with is the full faith and credit of our finances and how we fund critical functions of government. And I agree, we should, if whatever is left over should never be touched. We should continue to build on it so we never find ourselves in a situation where we are scraping the bottom of the barrel, or in this case, where we're flat broke. We know that natural disasters are coming far more frequently. They're staying far more longer than they have, and they're leaving more havoc in their path. They're also going in places we haven't seen them before. Who could have ever contemplated that the whole world would shut down with COVID? God forbid we find ourselves in another similar situation in the realm of a natural disaster, and we don't have resources. We could never have too much money sitting in a disaster relief fund, as far as I'm concerned. So your point is well taken, and it is long overdue that we should be responsible beyond parties to make sure that these funds are always fully, fully stacked.
But what is? How do you gauge this? What's your feeling? Is there bipartisan support to consider that? I mean, I think the public is all on board. In fact, they really want an all-hazards policy, you know, as it relates to flood and this and that and everything else, because of the nature of what we're facing and the cards that we're being dealt by Mother Nature?
I think the public desperately wants it. I think that there are a number of us on both sides of the aisle, Republican, Democrat, and other, who understand that these storms, these natural disasters, man, they don't distinguish race or our party or ideological differences. And we should treat it that way as well. We know that these storms and these natural disasters are real. They come in places they haven't been before, the places that hadn't been hit yet that may be next. And we should treat it as such and make sure that our resources are in place. Now, to answer your question specifically, I believe that there are a large number. I don't know that we are quite at the point of majority, but I can say without fear of contradiction, my discussions on both sides of the aisle, and I work this space pretty hard, and I work it very closely with Republicans and Democrats who similarly believe, as I do, that this is not a party issue. This is an American issue. And as we deal with storms, we deal with increasing cost of insurance, particularly this ill-fated policy of risk rating 2.0, which was designed to, quote-unquote, help Americans, has ended up doing just the opposite. Our delegation is lockstep, Republican, Democrat, to push back against risk rating 2.0 and to either through administrative means or through legislative means to modify and come up with a measure that protects the sanctity of home ownership. Many people are stuck in a position where they are faced with having to leave the home that they've paid for because they can't afford to pay the increasing cost of flood insurance in places where it's never even flooded before. So I think this is one of those issues, and I think there are, quite frankly, a lot more of these than people care to admit. And these, I mean, issues that are bipartisan in nature, that everyone benefits, Republican, Democrat, Black, White, Asian, Hispanic, regardless of your zip code, regardless of your socioeconomic status, will benefit from members of both parties coming to the table and coming up with resolutions that better the lots of all Americans. I think they're there. The members that I've worked closely with feel similarly. We just have to keep breeding that into a contagious form that we're able to benefit from it and discourage the negativity of division.
Troy, not to make this issue even more complicated, but I'm just kind of curious. There's been some chatter about reengineering DHS, especially FEMA. You know, and I know, we've stood on the streets in the aftermath of Katrina, FEMA being, for the most part, a part-time organization. Their response is very much reliant upon state and local assistance. And your thoughts about that? I know there's a lot of chatter about it. Where do you think that may go?
Well, you know, I founded the Disaster Recovery Caucus, which would give us the ability to evaluate FEMA, to evaluate DHS, to look at the functions of the antiquated Stafford Act, to determine where should modifications be done? Where can we use best practices and be more efficient with the practices of federal agencies? This falls smack dab in the middle. And by the way, this is a bipartisan caucus that I founded, made up of members of Republican Democratic Party, to address the policy side of Stafford Act, to address the policy side of the efficiencies of FEMA and DHS, to make sure that we are not duplicating efforts, we're not wasting efforts, we're utilizing best practices. And you know, we see these storms and these needs come. There's no way we should act as if this is something new. We treat this as if, oh, my God, there's a storm coming. Well, we know every year when hurricane season comes, We know how long they'll stay in those cases. We have a pretty good idea with those spaghetti forecasts where they're coming. We have a pretty good idea of the category they're coming in. And we also know what generally happens with power outages and with lack of transportation and downed trees. Why do we act as if this is something new every time? So that's all a part of how do we create greater levels of efficiency to make these agencies maximized in their functions in delivering resources to the American people. This should not be something new. Unfortunately, it's not as easy as you would think, because there's some bureaucrats who say it works. Let's not mess with it. Well, I dare say it doesn't work, and it needs to be modified.
Yeah, walk a day in your shoes, right? In the aftermath of Katrina.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Come down here and see and feel what we feel. You know that all too well. We've stood together too many times in the aftermath of a storm and seen the cries on people's faces and the trouble. And particularly, you know, one of the things that I've been a huge advocate is assistance for small businesses. Small businesses get, you know, one SBA loan after another SBA loan after another SBA loan to stand their businesses up after a storm. At some point, you're working to pay back SBA loans when, in fact, you're doing local and state government a favor by having a business. You're employing people. You're paying sales taxes. Sales taxes pay for police and fire and roads. You know, so at some point, we have to do a better job at treating our business people, particularly when the frequency of these natural disasters are as rapid as they are, and you just can't catch up. You just can't catch up. One SBA loan after another strangles a small business.
Well, I'm sure you feel the same way I do, the folks in North Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, all through that area. They're looking at 10 years, maybe 15. You know, so it's going to be a long, long journey for them, and we really hope and wish that you have much success with this supplemental appropriation, because the dollars need to be there, because without Jumpstart, every day that you lose right now, you probably lose 6 months on the back end, right? And we experienced it. And the sooner that you can get things moving there, the better off you're going to be. So we hope and wish you much success in this bipartisan effort. It needs to happen.
Yeah, there's no question. As I say to our friends, we really don't have an option. And anything short of doing fully funding the DRF and fully funding SBA is governmental malpractice.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We know you're busy. Congratulations again. I've always been very supportive of your candidacy and continue to be so. Consider you a friend, and best of luck, my friend.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you so very much. I look forward to coming back on periodically and kind of give you an update on some of the things that we talked about today and maybe some other things as we go forward with this new administration. It's time for us to, the election's over, time to move on, time to govern.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870. We are broadcasting live from Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. You want to come on out, you got a chance to win LSU Alabama tickets, Saints and Falcons tickets, and you got an opportunity to have some really nice stuff on that palette, too. So come on out. We'll be right back. Stay with us.